Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show, hour number two. Phone numbers are always the same each and every week, 800-222-KABC. If you miss any of the portions of this program, you can go to franksontag.com and the entire podcast of this program and every one we've done since we've been on the air at KABC now 10 months. You can find them all at our website. If you missed the previous hour, at the end of last hour, I read a breaking story in the Epoch Times. I want to thank Sharon Reardon, our newswoman, for posting it. I did not see this story, but in essence, it says because of bureaucracy here in California and two conflicting bills that are on the books, we have no political will to save any of this water. And within a matter of the blink of an eye, it'll be summer, we'll be back to the drought again, and you'll be hearing as if we never had any of the atmospheric rivers. And you know, this is a money play for sure. So if you have thoughts, 800-222-KABC, we have a few people on hold and a couple lines open. Let us talk to Paul in Santa Ana. Paul, you're on Talk Radio 790-KABC. Thanks for calling, Paul.
Good evening, Frank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So I do a lot of fisheries management stuff, and this is a very frustrating situation to know that, you know, a lot of this is based around releasing water for salmon primarily.
Yep.
And then these crazy little delta smelt.
That's right.
And, you know, it's a known fact that we're high and low on waters, rains, storms. It's been that way historically forever and exacerbated sometimes lessened. And the problem is that there is a lot more water that they can capture that they simply refuse to. And they can be smarter about when they do the releases. You know, salmon being in decline, they did a lot of damage with dams. They've taken dams out. They've done some other things. It still doesn't matter. They're still cyclical. There's other problems besides just when water comes that messes up their breeding cycle and their population boom and bust. And they're not doing a very good job of it. And with the delta smelt, they hold back the water that the farmers need. And the crazy thing about it is, at the same time as saying the smelt need more water, and then striped bass were introduced into California quite some time ago by the state for fishing opportunities. And striped bass go up into the rivers. They're indominus like a salmon, and they do breed up river, and they forage in fresh and salt water. And the problem is they're the biggest single predator of both delta smelt.
That's right.
And salmon, small,
right.
Baby salmon.
That's right.
And the state is literally right now considering putting in some protections, some more protections on striped bass, when only a couple of years ago they were recognizing the fact that the striped bass are doing damage and they're not native, so it should be really, really unlimited take on those fish so that the population can be controlled. You will never get rid of them once you release somebody in the ocean like that. It's very hard to stop them if they're successful in their breeding. But they could be controlled, and they could lessen some of this stuff. And they abjectly refuse to do so. And it boggles my mind to no end, because you're feeding wolves and wondering why they eat your sheep on one hand.
That's a good analogy.
And then you starve your sheep on the other.
That's a good analogy.
And it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. So let me ask this. 2 minutes and 40 seconds into the call, the average listener, if they're listening attentively, obviously you have a lot of information. This is part of your vocation to know this stuff. So I'll interview you for a moment as if you're a guest, because you're very well read, and I'll ask you two questions, and anything else you want to add, then we've almost got a full board. Everybody wants to talk about this now. So here is question number one. There may not be an answer, but it's the proverbial, why do the politicians insist on doing business as usual? What's the payoff? Why not do both? Why not help out the little smelt and the salmon, and also stop rationing and putting it to the middle class?
on one hand, there are a lot of people that have gone into fisheries management, and not the fisheries management itself, but fish and wildlife, fish and game previously. And these people are environmentalists, and they're preservationists. They're not environmentalists.
That's right.
They don't want to see fishermen. They don't want to see hunters. They don't want to see wildlife use. They literally would rather you look over the fence at it, walk on their trail, and that's pretty much where they're at with this stuff. And the problem is that their mode of thinking leaches its way slowly into every single aspect of what fishing game does. It's about preservationism, not proper management and making it accessible and utilized by everybody and sustained. So that's very different. On the other side of it, of course, it's big money, and these environmental groups draw big money, and there's big fame and not notoriety, but, you know, there's a lot of perks to being on the side of the Hollywood popular, of the politically popular, and getting into these things. And they're, you know, business people who are really serious preservationists, that as long as they get to sail their yacht, fly their plane, they couldn't care less if we were all riding horses, you know.
That's right.
That would be fine with them. So, and those people will pay for what they want. Yeah, and they finance and fund these other people who don't really understand the grand picture. They get a lot of young people in college and stuff to do their bidding for them. They're louder voices. You've seen how that stuff works out with mostly peaceful protests and things like that. They get people to do the dirty work for them.
That's right.
In a huge way, for public outcry, and it pays dividends for them. So these enviro groups are well funded by these guys, and they do it. And the other thing is that they make a lot of money.
They sure
on
do.
The other side.
They sure do.
One of many more questions,
and I actually have to take a break. I've got a lot of people, but let me ask this. And I have an answer to this. You may or may not. Am I overstating? Did we just lose him? No, he's still there somehow. No, we did lose him. Okay. Well, I won't get to the second question. But look, when we talk about well-informed, this is a lot of what he deals with. This is going to be the question I was going to ask. Do we have enough rain falling in California every year to meet the needs of everyone? Farmers, businesses, industries, private homes. I say we do, and I could back it up. 800-222-5222. Let's talk to Richard in Northridge. And thank you, caller. Richard, you're on 790 KABC.
Good evening. How are you? I understand you're discussing water needs for the entire state, but there's been a lot of discussion about water runoff here in the Los Angeles area. I've got a crazy idea, and maybe it is crazy, but at least it deals with the stormwater runoff. Over here in the San Fernando Valley, we have a culvert. It's about 150 feet wide or so, V-shaped, maybe 40 feet deep, along with a number of other north-south washes that are all concrete lined that run from, again, north to south. The county residents of L.A. pay $280 million as a part of annually as a part of a parcel tax that they voted into place a few years ago. And right now that $280 million is being spent on small projects that don't really do anything. I assume the money accumulates. So why don't we take this? Why don't we take the L.A. River here where it's all concrete? And it was built, I believe, because of the huge flood in L.A. in the 19-teens and designed to deal with that in terms of runoff. Why don't we just dam it up? Storehouse all that water. There's probably thousands of acre feet of water there, and then run it through the Tillman plant at Balboa. If Tillman at Balboa isn't big enough, build a Tillman 2. Then when the water comes out of it, it's clean, doesn't run into the bay down in Long Beach anymore, and there's enough water to water the riparian habitat that might come back. It's a crazy idea. Call the engineers, call the hydrologists, call the water quality experts, call vector control, but don't call consultants. Call people that can answer or address the issue.
Richard, I'm grateful for your call. Thank you for sharing. When we think about calling, look, I can go the way of cynicism very easy with the way the state is run. I do not want to be misunderstood. I despise Gavin Newsom. I can't stand the guy. Consummate politician, talks out of both sides of his mouth, lies. He got caught COVID. Let's not go down that road. But here's the point. We've taken two callers, both with an enormous amount of information. And yet, doggone it, we're going to be hearing the same junk in a matter of a few weeks. Here's what I want to tell you. And if you've got anything you want to share, we've got a couple lines open. 800-222-KABC. In an average year, I want you to listen to this. The state of California gets 200 million acre feet of fresh water from rains. On average, that's enough water to supply the annual needs of 400 million households. I'm not putting you on here. Of that huge supply, only 20 million acre feet are presently utilized. The remainder is lost. If it's not absorbed into the soil, it flows back out into the Pacific Ocean because environmentalists refuse to allow additional storage lakes to be built. Little smelts. Of the 20 million acre feet that's captured, get this, 15 million goes for agriculture. Only 5 million goes to you and I, residential use. In other words, about 2.5% of California's fresh water supply is directly used by us. And yet, we hear it all the time, there's the outcry to limit household usage. In fact, in order to secure tunneling under the Delta so as to deliver more Northern California water to the Bay Area and Southern California, 75% of the population lives in the South. 75% of the water is in the North. The Metropolitan Water District of Southern California had to agree not to expand its water usage, as if California water was somehow in short supply. I can go on and on about radical environmentalism and what the real issue is here. And it's maddening. It really is an issue where I just want to throw whatever intellect I have to the wayside and just start ranting and raving. By the way, ranting and raving does nothing. It's one of the few things in this medium of talk radio that I'm troubled by. I hear a lot of ranting and raving from both sides with no substance, with no solutions. It's they're the problem or they're the problem. Meantime, everything's going to hell. We've got our God-given intelligence. We're not using it collectively as we the people. And there's a payoff in playing the victim. I better be quiet. We're late for a break. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. More of the Frank Sontag Show next on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Oh, man, I love Stevie Ray Vaughan. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Listener Ashley just sent me an email asking if I'm on social media at all. She's not heard the program before. Yes, I am. You can find me at all the usual places. It's kind of a love-hate relationship with social media. I am on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. I've got different sites, the Frank Sontag Show, my personal page, Frank Sontag. I have a men's ministry as well. So, Ashley, yes, you can find me all throughout social media. Let us take a few more calls on the issue of water in California. By the way, there's a side story. The Biden administration has proposed reducing our water supply from the Colorado River Basin because they say we have to do something about the extreme drought conditions. And I can read you the article, but let me just cut to the chase. We are living in a day and age where lying goes without any conscience whatsoever. People in positions of authority on both sides lie without any impunity, without any conscience at all. And to me, it's less about them and more about how we, the people, just take it. And I know it's very popular out there. Well, I'm one person. What can I do? The government's so big. Oh, knock it off. Social change has been enacted throughout history by many single individuals. And if that seems like the odds are insurmountable, heck, live your life. Do something. Be on the side of being part of the solution and not part of the problem. Ignorance is not alive and well. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is ignorance. And as much as I want to lay extreme accountability at the feet of politicians, it's like, look, we still have some remnants of this being a republic and this being a we the people. But we're in the 11th hour. We need to start becoming informed, becoming active. And I think part of it is we've been under the onslaught of the left for decades, where it's all about fear-mongering and separation and propaganda. One of many points to illustrate my thought, and then we'll take calls. 10 years ago, if someone was to have told me that we would be living in a day and age where not only would it not even be debated, it would be assumed by, I don't care if it's a minority of loudmouths, that there's more than two genders. I would say, oh, you know, please. Maybe 50 years down the line, things are accelerating rapidly. We have biological men, males, competing against women. And the women's groups of the 60s and 70s, the feminists and all the hard work of women, they're silent. It's mind-blowing. In fact, I've got a story to share with you on the other side of this. I'll do it at the end of the segment. Thank you for reminding me. Mike in Irvine. Mike, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Frank. Love your show.
Thank you.
And by the way, I went to Notre Dame for a day.
For a day?
And then my family moved.
Oh, my gosh.
So I went there for one day to say goodbye to my buddies, and then that was it.
Oh, man.
This is on the lighter side.
Okay.
I go to all the colleges. That's my job. I go to 50 different colleges all the way to San Francisco. And Cal State Fullerton is my local college. And 2 years ago when we were having a drought, they put up signs everywhere. They must have spent $1 million on signs. And I know that they spent $500,000 taking the lawn out in the middle of the quad.
Jeez, unbelievable.
And put in drought-resistant plants.
Unbelievable.
And then they announced, so all the politicians came down, and it rained an inch that day. They couldn't do their ceremony.
Oh, that's hysterical. That's hysterical.
Yeah, it's just like God punished them. But it was so funny. I thought it was so funny to myself because I go, God, what are they taking out this lawn for? Can't they just leave it?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you know, in my neighborhood, I've only been living in this neighborhood for 10 months. It's a very nice neighborhood in Ventura County. And I'd say 50% of the homes over the summer, they dug up the lawns and they put in.
Oh, I know.
Some
it drives me nuts.
Some of the
And now everybody that dug up their lawn, it looks like crap.
Yeah, well, I'd say one out of every 10 looks, you know, okay. But most of them look so fake. And I'm thinking, I'm not here to judge, but I'd be embarrassed if I had that thing. It looks like just somebody painted my lawn green, and all under the auspices of we're in a drought, we have to save water. What a lot of nonsense.
Okay. You know, okay, I got another one for you real quick, and it's kind of cute, too. It's not cute. It's kind of sad, but I go up to San Luis, not San Luis Obispo, but Paso Robles all the time. It's cow country. All the ranchers up there sold off their cattle when we had our last drought. And the minute they sold it off, we had rain for 3 weeks, and everything was fine again. And now they had to go back into the cow business, the cattle business. And so this is a cyclical thing, but they make it's a political thing, just like you just said.
Yeah. Mike, thank
all
you.
Politics.
It's good to hear from you, Mike. Call again. I got to jump here. Let me also kind of put a ribbon on this conversation. If I was to have to bottom line this, this would be my position. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. So biblically, my faith is Christianity. Here's the bottom line. We have radical environmentalism in the state, trying to limit the growth of mankind in the state by jumping in, curtailing the supply of water, even though there's more than enough to go around. At the core of this are worldviews that are in opposition. One says that the environment is most important, i.e. radical environmentalists. But I think the side of truth is that people, are the most important, which is biblical Christianity. But that's not what we have here in the state of California. Radical environmentalism is the religion of the day. 800-222-5222. You never know what can happen in life. We don't know if we've got tomorrow. And one of the hard realities is one day to the next, sometimes we can experience levels of tragedy. Berglund and Johnson Law Group are sponsors of this program. We had Dan Johnson on last week. For more than four decades, they have been fighting for those who have suffered life-changing injuries, tragically, some in the case of death, because of negligence of wrongful acts of others. Auto, truck, motorcycle accident, accidents. If you've been seriously injured, Berglund and Johnson would like to talk with you about maybe helping you. Free evaluation. It costs you nothing to find out if they can help. Never have to pay anything unless they win your case. And again, they've been doing this for more than 40 years. I think that speaks for itself. Their number is 800, the number 4, if hurt. 800, the number 4, if hurt. And berglundandjohnson.com is their website. If you need help, reach out to them. They will take care of you. 800-222-5222. I've got some stories here in front of me. California, there is a new bill that would teach seventh graders how to have an abortion. We're going to get into that one. Story from the Netherlands, kind of thematic with the show. Dutch minister is warning of the waning public support for climate policies. And I want to get to, well, the issue I just made mention of, biological men's sports. There is a seething article at the Washington Stand on Riley Gaines and what happened, and she's had enough. I'll read the article. It speak for itself. And also, I'd love it if you would speak for yourself. 800-222-KABC. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 lines open. 800-222-5222. 30 minutes left in this final hour of this, the Frank Sontag Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. In this segment, I'm going to try to cover a lot of ground, jumping around. We've got some open lines, 800-222-KABC. You know, the G word is in the news quite a bit from time to time. Whenever we have something as horrific as shootings, the left starts ranting and raving about gun control. I heard a statistic this week, and I thought that can't be correct. And I cross-referenced it. Do you know that in the United States of America, every day, 65 people commit suicide, mostly with guns? And I'm not going to spend long on this. Maybe next week we'll get into a deeper discussion. I don't hold the guns accountable, but we have some serious problems. That's 24,000 people in America every year commit suicide. My goodness. That should say something about our culture and some problems we have. The Dutch, if you've never been to the Netherlands, I've heard it's beautiful. Deputy Prime Minister Sigrid Kaag is also the Minister of Finance there. says that it's increasingly becoming more difficult for her government to face rallying some parts of the electorate behind policies with intergenerational ramifications. What does all that mean? We need to create a level of support to entice and inspire people to, wait for it, give up their vocations of farming because of climate change. By the way, if this isn't a sign of the times, the winner of the Dutch regional elections was an upstart populist farmer citizen movement, or what's called the BBB. They capitalized on anger over the government's push to have nitrogen-based emissions by 2030 and going after the farming community. We had a caller talk about giving up their cows. That's part of what's going on in the Netherlands right now. It's an interesting story to track. Turbulence in The Hague comes as other parts of Europe's green agenda have been watered down amid political tensions in other capitals. Yeah, okay, so we got that one. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has thrown his hat in the ring. He's talking about running for president. That's a story maybe we'll get into next week. There's a commentary on, oh, what is this website? I don't have it. Man's name is James Kunstler. He wrote a piece called The Hero's Journey. Talked a lot about Robert Kennedy. In fact, I'll make a mental note and cover that next week. Also in this commentary, I'll just read you a paragraph about the state of the country. Joe Biden's party of chaos is engineering an economic smash-up worse than the Great Depression. They've torpedoed the rule of law. The woke Marxist social nuttery they've unleashed has disordered millions of young minds. They work overtime to destroy language so that we don't know what we're even talking about. The race and gender hustles have transformed us into a clown nation. The worst of us is valorized and the best canceled. They've perverted the election process. And it's increasingly clear that they've disabled and killed at least a million people with their medical tyranny. This according to a man that writes commentaries, James Howard Kunstler. His website is kunstler.com. I'm going to save this one for next break, California and the Bill. I guess we'll close with this one. We talked about AI in the program. I'm gonna watch Wayman's reaction. I saw this one. Y'all hear about the Joe Rogan podcast that was all AI'd? Listen to this. Joe Rogan has taken issue warning all people after an AI-generated version of his podcast surfaced. Listen to this. Joe Rogan is warned of growing threats posed by artificial intelligence after a version of his podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience, was created entirely through the use of AI technology. Rogan wrote on Twitter, 3 days ago, quote, "This is going to get very slippery, kids. We need to become more aware of what's going on," end quote. This is a response to a video of the fake show that was shared on social media platform by a content creator named Farzad Misbahi. The fake video is titled, get ready, "Joe Rogan AI Experience Episode 1. Features guest Sam Altman, CEO of OpenAI, the creator of the artificial intelligence system ChatGPT. Now you may go, okay, well, they basically said it's fake. What's the big deal? Wait, you hear this. They even did a disclaimer noting that the contents depict a fictional podcast between Rogan and Altman with all content generated using AI language models. It also adds the use of AI technology to generate the video. Quote, is solely intended as an, listen to these words, an exploration of the capabilities of language models. What the hell does that mean? Now, here's where it gets precarious. Throughout the entire fake podcast, the AI-generated host Rogan, and it does sound like Joe Rogan, I listened a little bit of it, and AI-generated guest Altman discuss various subjects, including the future of AI, ethical issues surrounding such advanced technology, whether or not advanced AI could take jobs away from American workers, and rather ironically, concerns regarding fake AI content, among other issues. It's an entire podcast, and if you just tuned in, you wouldn't know. Let me read more. One point, Altman even discusses his work with Elon Musk. These are robots. Can you imagine where we're going here? Now, Musk founded OpenAI with Altman 7 years ago, okay? But recently, he has called for AI labs to immediately pause training systems that are more powerful than ChatGPT-4 for at least 6 months. Elon Musk has cited concerns over their possible, quote, risks to society and humanity, end quote. We read an article commentary last week from one of the experts saying, we may be, our lives may be at stake here. Let me read a little more. It's very thought-provoking and very concerning. The fake Rogan asks Altman at one point on the show, quote, I'm curious to know what it's like to work with Elon Musk. He's such a controversial and influential figure in the tech world, and I'm sure it must be an interesting experience to work with him. Can you tell me a bit about your experience working with Elon and your thoughts on him as a person and leader? These are robots talking. Altman responds, it's definitely been an interesting experience working with Elon. He's definitely a very intelligent and driven person. He has a lot of great ideas and insights. He's definitely someone who's always thinking about the future and how to make the world a better place. I really respect him. At the same time, he's also someone who's very passionate about his beliefs and ideals. He's not afraid to speak his mind and challenge the status quo. That can definitely be both a strength and a weakness, depending on the situation, end quote. Seriously, they're just talking as if they're, well, two people. The video comes out as experts have warned of limited planning and management regarding advanced AI systems, despite companies in recent months racing to deploy more powerful AI technologies. Last month, the Microsoft-backed OpenAI released the long-awaited update of its AI technology, ChatGPT-4, which is the most powerful AI system ever. Also in March, Google announced it had launched its AI app known as Bard for testing in the UK and here in our country, although the company has taken a slower approach to release the technology, saying it needs more feedback and about the app must address certain challenges such as inaccurate or possibly misleading or false information, end quote. Oh, my goodness, what are we doing? But in terms of the topic at hand here, a podcast, they do a little disclaimer at the beginning, and then the robots talk back and forth. It sounds like Joe Rogan and a guest there. Can you imagine if they, you know, they decide they're going to talk about whomever? It's all artificial intelligence. Do you understand the impact that that can make? I'll be on this week in and week out. This is a very troubling topic. 800-222-5222. Before we break, let me hit this one quick. Riley Gaines is speaking out against women in sports that have fallen on the side of the transgender issue. She goes after specifically Megan Rapinoe, who is well, she's has a wife and, you know, that's her personal taste, if you will. But Rapinoe has condemned newly proposed legislation that is about protecting girls' sports. Riley Gaines was just up in San Francisco and got accosted by a violent mob of sick, evil people screaming just vulgarities. She was popped twice in the face, cornered for 3 hours, and then the mob had the audacity to try to ransom her. They wanted money to let her go free. Of course, the president of San Francisco State doesn't do jack other than falls on the side of, oh, you know, I stand with the students. Just, this is the world we live in. All right. But I've saved the most disturbing for last. 800-222-KABC. It is in California. When we come back, There is a California bill that would teach seventh graders how to have an abortion. You have to hear this. This is important. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. By the way, the email address that I gave out earlier, frank@kmgministries.com, there's a ton of emails that I haven't opened up. I'm probably not going to get to any more calls. I apologize to all of you on the screen. I want to get to this story. And if you have comments, something you want to share, send me an email, frank@kmgministries.com. I'll read it between now and next week and maybe even share yours on the air. But I want to get to this story and give it ample time. It is very distressing, but yet very important. The website, The Washington Stand, reports this. California bill would teach seventh graders how to have an abortion. Listen to this. Public schools would teach children as young as 12 about abortion as part of the middle and high school sex education curriculum. Give them a list of abortion businesses and inculcate an attitude of, quote, inclusivity and support in conversations surrounding abortion, end quote, if a new bill passes the California legislature. The legislation is one of 17 new abortion-related bills that Democratic lawmakers have introduced to enhance our state's self-identity as, quote, an abortion sanctuary, end quote. Additional bills would all allow abortionists to break the law in other states with impunity, create a taxpayer-funded awareness campaign that critics believe will malign pro-life pregnancy resource centers and expand publicly funded abortion on demand for minors without parental consent. AB 598 from Assemblywoman Buffy Wicks, I believe that's her name, requires that middle school and high school sex education programs instruct kids in, quote, pregnancy prevention and care, including, but not limited to, guidance regarding contraceptive methods and abortion. Teachers have to give students information about obtaining abortions during different stages of pregnancy, including informational resources, methods, and medical risks, end quote. The bill further specifies that, quote, all pupils shall receive a physical or digital resource detailing the local resources to carry out an abortion, such as a webpage linking minors to local abortion facilities. The bill also asks teachers to inculcate a positive attitude of inclusivity and support in conversations surrounding abortion or contraception, end quote. There's more. The legislation encourages teachers to have children support abortion on demand. Instruction shall also discuss accessibility of and community attitudes toward reproductive care with an emphasis on positive community tenets such as inclusivity and support in conversations surrounding abortion or contraception, says the bill. Pro-life commentators call the bill the next logical step in state-sponsored abortion advocacy. Quote, California's mandatory sex ed program, has always been a boon to the abortion industry. Encouraging children to engage in sexual activity will inevitably result in unintended pregnancies, so it's not surprising that the Democrats in the legislature want every middle and high school student to know where to get an abortion without involving their parents. End quote, says Mary Rose Short, director of California Right to Life. She said, quote, if students make it to college, it's even easier to get an abortion since California law mandates that state universities provide abortions on campus as a staple of student life, end quote. The bill is one of nearly a score of abortion-promoting bills drawn up by the California Future of Abortion Council in conjunction with the California Legislative Women's Caucus. The latest legislative blitz comes just months after Governor Gavin Newsom supported and presented 15 abortion-related bills aimed at turning California into a national abortion sanctuary. Look, I want to be careful here. I am a Christian, self-identified. Christians have had abortions too. So I don't want this to be misunderstood or twisted or perverted that somehow I'm not saying, you know, we're the holy ones. We don't do any of this. Not the case. But here's the point. We live in a state that's falling all over itself to be all about the abortion sanctuary. We live at a time in the country where some politicians are falling all over themselves to push bills where you can actually kill a child that has been aborted and survives. Kill the baby when it's on its own. This has got to be talked about. And I know, for me, the church as a whole, man, they stay away from this stuff. But look, it's hard to hear, but this is the reality of what's going on. And teaching kids as young as 12, you hear it even if you don't want to hear it. This is everywhere. Sex ed in public schools all across the country. The transgender issue. Kids, the push to not tell your parents. Seriously? This is, again, just another area. It's got to be stopped. If you're in social media on Instagram, I urge you all to go to my ministry page, which is Kingdom Men's Gathering, KMG Ministries. I posted a video of a guy, I think in San Diego, that stood in front of the city council or the teachers union. I actually don't know. Just went off on them about this issue. It's shocking that so many of us, and look, I want to sign off and have my conscience clear and be able to sleep tonight. The majority of my life, I've been on the side of pro-choice. I was a progressive radical environmentalist before I got saved as a Christian. I fought for animals. I fought for the planet. I fought for people's right to choose, but I never fought for people. Years ago, I hosted a series of environmental forums at, well, a local university of which will go unnamed, Cal Poly Pomona. Do you know we had two forums back to back? One was on saving the ocean, saving the whales, packed. Young kids passionate about saving marine animals and marine life, and we need to make our changes and do all that stuff. The next night was actually on the death penalty. We had maybe about a 30th of the people from the night before. Sold out on animal rights when it comes to people issues and what we're capable of. Dr. King used to say, man's inhumanity to man. I think we had like 30 people show up. Too hard to hear. Too hard to go there. Oh, I don't want to know. I don't want to get involved. I mean, I saw that story and I'm like, okay, do I really want to get into it? You better believe it. Because this is, look, our governor falls all over himself. Hey, come on, come get your abortion here in California. And the manipulation of language. Wherever you fall on this issue, when you hear women's reproductive rights, at least let's say specifically what this is. This is the taking of a life. And for most of my life, up until 54, on the public airwaves for 20-some years, that's all I spouted. Pro-choice, I'm a man, not been given the God-given ability to give birth, this is not a men's issue, blah, 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 pro-choice. And then one day it hit me. What are we doing? These are babies. They can't even defend themselves. I had a story last week I didn't get to about all the attacks on pregnancy clinics. And, man, this is quite a time to be alive on planet Earth. I appreciate each and every one of you. I thank you for listening to this program. You're always welcome to call in, send an email. We're here every Friday evening for now from 7 until 9 p.m. Pacific. And again, if you missed any portion of this broadcast, we make sure all the podcasts are up on franksontag.com pretty quickly after the show. And you are welcome to email me at frank@kmgministries.com. Email address, frank@kmgministries.com. Until next Friday, Lord willing, I'll be back here. I do appreciate each and every one of you. And my goodness gracious, how can you live in this life without a belief in God? I don't know how you do it. I can't. To God be the glory. Talk Radio 790 KABC.